And as you look through this chapter 2 in the book of Ruth, you will see that you find this young woman, young widow woman, in a very strange place. She's out in a barley field, and it would seem to us that surely this is a picture of terrible poverty. She's just going around and gathering up the little bits of barley that haven't been gathered up by those who have been doing the harvesting. But there's a lot more to the story of Ruth than that, and there's certainly a lot more in this chapter than merely looking at her as a poor person who is out trying to glean a living in someone else's barley field. Ruth's mother-in-law, of course, as you know, was Naomi. Now, if you find Naomi in the early part of this chapter, she would be a cause for concern, because she'd taken a wrong route, and she paid a heavy price for that, her and her husband as well. And for long enough, she was, well, we would have to use the word, in misery and unhappiness. And Naomi doesn't really know too much about joy in the early part of the book of Ruth. But it is very notable that as Ruth came in from her gleaning, that Naomi took notice of what she had with her. She noticed that she had quite a lot with her. And brothers and sisters, there's a message in that as well. Those who are downcast, you may call them a backslider. They may not want to be referred to as a backslider, but that could well be the case. And if they're able to look on those who are walking closely with the Lord, there's no doubt they can be helped as they look at what we are gleaning. Because what we glean from the Lord and from His Word, that is lived out, or at least it ought to be lived out in our lives. You're here today. That's good. People know that. You have an interest in the Word. People know that as well. You respect the Lord's Day. People know that as well. And as I look at the story here of Ruth and Naomi, I cannot but help but think, well, certainly I see here the great benefit of being able to help somebody else. Over there in 2 Corinthians, I'll just read this for you now, when Paul was writing to the people there, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, referring to God, he says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And Paul really meant it. He had known comfort from the Lord. And yet there were others, we have to say from time to time, that were a great comfort to him. But his aim was to help others in their troubles as well. And brothers and sisters, and there's none of us here today that need to be reminded that we live in a time of trouble. We live in a world of turmoil and unrest. And many of God's people can get to that point where they're greatly troubled in their souls. And maybe even they're just a wee bit like Naomi, and in truth they cannot even remember the last time that they really knew happiness and joy. And misery has set in. But if you look there in verse 19, you will see here that Naomi has a question for Ruth. And she says to her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" Do you see the picture now? What she saw appealed to her. She says, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou?" And then she says, "Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." In other words, before you say anything, Ruth, whoever enabled you to glean all of this today, well, I trust that the Lord will bless him. And you can see what we're saying here now about Boaz, the one who had shown her where to glean and provided for her, how he as a type of Christ is able to provide that for us. which we hope others will see. Even people who've lost out with the Lord. And they'll be interested. And they'll say, where did you get that? But of course, we're just saying, where did you get that? We really mean they're thinking, how come you've got this joy? How come you've got this contentment and peace of mind? You see there in verse 19, where it says, and she showed her mother-in-law. The word showed there is a word in the original language that means to bring something to light that it hasn't been to light. Or it carries the meaning as well, if you like, of exhibiting something. If you go to a motor show, the latest Ferrari or whatever it happens to be, it will be exhibited there in order that men and women might look with it, give it a bit of attention. And there'll be nothing hidden there. It'll all be there for men and women to see in order that it might appeal to them. That's the meaning of the word here, to exhibit. It says that here that, and she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. How important it was that Ruth was in tune. She, of course, knew the need of Naomi at this time. But if you see, look there in verse 20 as well, it says, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord that who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. On a human level, young Ruth knew what Naomi needed. She needed encouragement. And she needed help. And she was there to help her. And when I look at this picture of Ruth and Naomi in this chapter, I am reminded of something very important. And it is that as Christians, most Christians want to find the will of God. And very often it is not that we don't want to find the will of God. It's just that sometimes we have to struggle to find out what is the will of God for me. A preacher many years ago said that to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find God's will for ourselves is the greatest discovery. And to do God's will is the greatest achievement. There's one of the missionaries many years ago who said, I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than in the throne of England, out of the will of God. I think that was David Livingstone. He really meant it. And folks, we're not talking here about something that you find out through dreams, or some perhaps are still deluded today, feel that they're words of knowledge. God used to speak through dreams or visions years ago when people didn't have the Bible. He spoke to certain ones that would represent him. But we have the Bible. He has given his word and prayer and the work of his Holy Spirit to guide his people. And as we look in this story of Ruth, she's asked, where have you leaned today? And where wroughtest thou? And if I were to put a title on this message this morning, it would simply be the right person in the right place. You may remember a couple of years ago we spoke with a message called The Right Person in the Wrong Place. Well, I believe that here in the providence of God, Ruth was the right person in the right place. And as I look at this and see a picture of guidance for us, I want you to notice first of all that the Christian needs to be looking for God's will for them. If you would just take a wee look there, verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also. How important those words were. She was listening to what this man Boaz, who's a type of Christ, had to say to her. You see, whenever he said unto me also, you will see that she goes on to say what he talked about. In other words, Boaz says to young Ruth, he says, here's what I want you to do. This is where I want you to be. You're not to look where someone else is, because that may be my direction for them. But Boaz is saying unto her, here is what I want you to do, Ruth. Maybe you would turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. verse 17. Well, if you look there in verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." The word circumspectly simply means accurately. That's what you want to do. And you and I can only do that if we're following God's will for us. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now that is clear enough in itself, but you must tie in verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Referring to the importance of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you and I are to know the will of God for us, there is no other way. And that's what Paul is saying here to the people at Ephesus. You need to walk accurately. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do that and understand what the will of God is. But you will see that the details he gives before in chapter 5 in the early verses there about some things that are all wrong, vain words. There, "Let no man deceive you," in verse 6, "with vain words." And verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." You're in the best position to do that if you're walking circumspectly. And you'll be able to walk circumspectly or accurately if you're filled with God the Holy Spirit and you're wishing to follow after the Lord. In other words, if you're wishing to know the Lord's will for you. And we need to be listening. We need to be listening for the Lord's will. You see, God does have a perfect will for you and I. We can muddle through life. You may call it God's permitted will. And it'd be right to say that every Christian, no matter how much they've been used, at some time or other, they can point back and say, "Well, I really muddled through that year or those years. I was just muddling. But then I found the will of God for me, and I was determined to listen and to know the will of God for me continually." There are people, believe it or not, and I believe that they could be evangelicals, therefore I'm not saying they're not. It's not for me to judge. But they have, some time ago, there's a book written to encourage people not to seek out God's will for themselves, but "I do whatever you think yourself" kind of attitude to life. And in that book, we have to say that those people would be going against the Lord's will. Now, the Lord does not come along with wee details to us of all the things in life that are so simple. I'm sure some of you men have been in a shoe shop. I'm sure sometimes it wasn't for your own shoes either. But you will see rows and rows of shoes, and your wife may say, "Right, we'll go to the next one. There's nothing here, and there's 50 pairs of shoes in front of you." Well, you think there's shoes there. Of course we do, but you know where I'm coming from. She doesn't see the pair there she likes. You see, it is not down to things like that. Or what kind of a suit that you wear. Would the Lord rather have you in a grey suit or a black suit? But brethren and sisters, we're speaking here about the Lord's leading in his life and where he would have us to be. And what we really have to say to our own hearts today is, can we say, "And he said unto me also"? Can we look to the Lord and say, and in their own heart indeed, and say, "Well, the Lord certainly guided me. And the Lord is guiding me, and the Lord is directing me as well." Over there in Exodus 33, and I'll read these verses quickly so that save you a little bit of time. Exodus 33 there, and you'll see in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face by face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp." And by the way, that's very often the way the Lord still speaks to us. He is our friend. And he speaks to us face to face as we listen to his word and we read his word and we seek his face in prayer. It does not have to be some kind of an extraordinary kind of experience that we're looking for. In the simple looking to the Lord, he speaks with us face to face. It says, "And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See that thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know where thou wilt send with me, whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in thy sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider this nation as thy people." You know something? Moses here was just like all the rest of us. He wanted to know the way ahead, several steps ahead. He was beginning to worry here that he wasn't going to know the right way. And he cries to the Lord in verse 13, "Show me now thy way." And where it says thy way, I think we've mentioned it before, it means show me the appointed route. That's what it is. As I said, we can all muddle through life. But brethren, how much better it is to be in God's appointed route for us. If you take time yourself at home to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you will see that in a few verses there, perhaps a dozen verses or so, the experiences of the children of Israel are catalogued for us. And the good points are there, but so are their failures. And it says that all of that is there for our examples or for patterns. And if you look at that passage very carefully, you will see that every time things went well with Israel, and you can trace it through your Bible, they were following the Lord. Seeking out his will, as Moses was here, and following hard after him. And when things didn't go wrong, they would have been behaving like those who tied in with that book I mentioned to you, where people are encouraged to just do it if you like. That's the way to live. Do what you want. Go where you want. Don't worry about it. You know, the Lord doesn't really mind. Well, the Lord does have a perfect will for you. And I happen to believe that very many Christians, thankfully, that I know anyway, are looking for the Lord's will for them. And they're wanting the Lord to say unto them, just as Boaz said unto Ruth. As I said, it may be not some kind of an extraordinary, sensational experience you have. It won't be. But if you're willing to listen to God and his word, God's word, and God's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart as you meet with him in your own closet, then God will say unto you. Down in the outreach yesterday to Athlone, as I said, we went in the bus that was leaving Portadown and picking up some people at Market Hill as well, and on down, I think there were 13 in the bus, and got talking to some of the ones. People were sitting beside me. There's a young girl there and her boyfriend. She's talking to her, she's at university, and I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just training to be a nurse." And then I said, "Oh, that's a very nice career for a girl." "So it is." I said, "You'll be able to help people then." She says, "I know that." And she says, "I'm actually really enjoying it." She said, "You know," she says, "absolutely had no intention of doing nursing. No interest in it whatsoever." She said, "But the Lord kept leading me in that direction." And now she's in her final year of university. And she has been, well, what she's been doing, she's been listening to the Lord. I firmly believe that. And she says, "I don't even know where I'm going to go." She said, "I feel as if I'm very much a home bird, but the Lord has changed things in the past that much that I'm not going to say that. I'm definitely going to be at home." And I was really encouraged because I don't know what age she was, probably 21 or something like that. And she was listening to the Lord. Spoke to another man and he said to me, he was telling me all about his work that he had been in. And then how he had changed his work. And the reason he changed his work was that he wanted to be able to commit himself to doing something in the Lord's work and say, "Well, I'll be there. You can depend on me. I'm going to throw myself behind this part of the work." He couldn't do that due to the nature of his work. And he really sought the Lord, and the Lord opened up a door in something that he would never even have dreamt of applying for before. But he felt it was the Lord's will. Followed that, he got the job. And where he is at the present time, the Lord has given him a lot of opportunities just to speak for him. And to witness for him. And to live for him. Why has that all happened? Because he can say, "And he said unto me also." Then he told me about his son. And he had become quite a highly qualified person. But in the job that he was in, there were one or two things. And probably no one would have known, but he felt they were just questionable. And he had trouble about it in his conscience. So he went to the Lord and he said, I'm qualified in this, but this is not working out as far as I'm concerned. Maybe nothing too serious, but he just had trouble about it. And again, he applied for something that was absolutely nothing to do with what he was usually doing. He got the job and he's more happy than he's ever been. And again, the Lord has been using him there. Why? Because he said unto me also. And folks, as I think of that man and his son and that young girl as well, and I was very, very greatly encouraged. Here are people who are the right person in the right place. You see, the easiest thing in the world to do is to just follow after our own will. But as we look at the story of Ruth here, there is that need to look for his will for us. If you want to talk to me about God's will for you, I'll try and talk with you and help you and encourage you. But I can't decide it. I can't point it out either. But you need to listen and be able to say, he said unto me also. We all want to be the right man or woman in the right place. But if you notice there in chapter 2 in verse 23, you'll see that she submitted to the wishes of Boaz. It says there, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. You see, staying by the maidens and by the young men here as we read it does not differ. You will have read there staying by the young men and then staying by the maidens. They do not differ because the maidens followed behind the young men. Therefore she stayed. She stayed in the right place. And you will see here that Naomi, the one who has so often been so bitter, do you remember she said, call me not Mara, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter. Well, now she's different. And she's encouraged this young Ruth, she's encouraged her to stay in the right place. If you look at verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that they go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. See that? Not in any other field. Oh, how important it is, brethren and sisters, to really seek the Lord that we might be the right man or the right woman in the right place. There's none of us with, if we have a right view of things, that would seek great things for ourselves. But who knows what the Lord would use you for? It may be somewhere that you still feel very insignificant, or maybe somewhere where you will be in public recognition. But if you're the Lord's man or the Lord's woman at that time for that place, then you're the right man or the right woman in the right place. You see, around us today in the world, there's loads and loads of advisors. Plenty of them. Our young people in the Free Presbyterian Church are hearing them. I'm not saying they're all following them. In fact, out of that 110 people that went on outreach yesterday, there were quite a number of them who were very young. And they're not following after the voice of the world, in my opinion. But they were wanting to be the right young people in the right place, doing what they could for the Lord, listening to the voice of the Lord, and having that willingness to do it. Didn't Paul, in writing to Timothy, and we know that Timothy had become discouraged at a time, Paul was giving him advice on many, many things, and one of the things that he gave him advice on was those who would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, so on, and you can go on and forth there. But he goes on here, and he advises him in verse 7 to refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And you'll see if you read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 3 to 17, and 2 Timothy 4 as well, you will see time and time again, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Look to the Lord's will for that which is right for you and do it. It doesn't matter what other people do. And if your good friend doesn't do it, well, you can pray for them. Remember how it was with Naomi. She had been so bitter and so hard and so down, really. But you will see here that now there seems to be that change again. Yes, Ruth was seeking the will, the right place for her. The picture is, We need to seek the Lord's will for us. And we need to be willing to do the Lord's will for us. If you turn with me quickly there to the Psalm 25. I'm going to finish the point here. Psalm 25. The psalmist here certainly wanted to hear the Lord's voice and to know the Lord's way for them. Here's Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, let them be ashamed with which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways. Well, the ways there is the same as the way that Moses was asking about. It is the well-trodden pathway. It is the appointed pathway. And you will see that there is a word there which says teach. Well, that word teach, if you look there in verse 4, and if you look in verse 5 as well, and also in verse 9, I think it is, you will see that the word teach here, it really means to train. To train. So he's saying here, Lord, show me thy ways and train me in thy paths. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. And if you want to follow after the Lord, the best thing to do is start now. You look there in verse 8 of that psalm, please, just quickly. Verse 8, and it says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. And also in verse 12, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Now, the use of the word teach in those two verses, verse 8 and verse 12, does not mean train, but it means something a little bit different. It means point out. Point out the way. In other words, Lord, teach me by pointing out the way. I'm far from perfect, and I'm the first man to put my hand up and say that. But as I look back over my Christian life, I'm glad that the Lord has taught me and led me, not only by training me, by getting me to do something to start with, but by pointing it out. Pointing out the right pathway. Pointing it out as I listen to preaching. Pointing it out as I look at His Word myself. Pointing it out as I seek the Lord in prayer. If you look there in Psalm 25, in fact it's another psalm, I'm not sure which one it is, but it refers to the secret of the Lord being with them that fear Him. The word secret means a close counsel. A close counsel. In other words, if you really want to follow after the Lord, reverence Him or fear Him, just listen to Him. Listen to Him in His Word. And Ruth here, she listened and she did the will of God. But I must move on quickly. Not only are we shown here the importance of listening for the voice of the Lord, but you'll notice here that the best joy in the world. Now, we met a lot of people yesterday, and there's not much joy in their life. Some of them are very religious, but there's no joy. The best joy in the world is when we're in the right field. Again, we draw your attention to words that Naomi said here to her. She says that they meet thee not in any other field. In other words, it's very good for you just to be here. Where you are now. Again, we're reminded of the words found over there in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I'll read them very quickly. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that ye, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Where it says this world, it really means the spirit of the age. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you see, when God is really leading us in His will, God helps us and He encourages us. And brothers and sisters, when you're encouraged, you're joyful. When the Lord encourages us, He brings joy to our hearts. And you will see that this Ruth came to Bethlehem. Well, she only knew Naomi. If you look there, she only knew Naomi, and it says there in verse 21, I think it's verse 21, she says in Ruth and Moab, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep my fast by the young man until they have ended all my harvest. She wasn't to move here on a whim. She wasn't just to go because somebody else maybe decided to go, but rather when she was in the place where the blessing was, she was the right girl in the right place, that was the place for her to stay. And you know something, Christians, we live in a day when there's an awful lot of change. And it is very, very easy for us to think, we just need change. Life's got so monotonous for us. Maybe there's nothing particularly wrong with what we don't feel there's anything particularly wrong, but it's just got a bit monotonous. And we need change. And really we need change because there's change all around us and the world is forever changing faster and faster and faster. And therefore it could creep in among the Church of Jesus Christ. We need change as well. Well, do we need change? If you're the right man or the right woman in the right place, then that is the place to stay. Remember, Ruth was out in the field. And I've mentioned a few individuals to you earlier on, and they're not in the place in this world where they would have chosen for their own career. But they're absolutely convinced that at this present time, they're the right people in the right place. And that is a responsibility for every minister to consider, that he's the right man in the right place at the right time. But far more than that, it's for every individual Christian. In the hospital, mentioned a nurse earlier on. In the factory. Out travelling around the roads as a traveller. In the farmer's mart. In the shop, wherever it happens to be. The all-important thing is, and again we're tying it in with joy, because there was great joy for Ruth here. The best joy in the world is when you're the right person in the right field. And I trust that the Lord will help us more and more to make sure that we're in the right field. And finding the right field, don't be bothered by all the changes that the world seeks to impress upon you. Stay in that field. If you're in the right place at the right time. Because the third thought here, and it's very briefly, is this. Routine does not mean that you're necessarily out of the will of the Lord. Routine does not mean you're necessarily out of the will of the Lord. Verses 21 and 23 again. This was going to be a day-by-day thing for her. And there are many today, and they're drawn to that which is sensational and that which is spectacular. And could we use the word excitement? It really appeals. Appeals to the senses. And then if it appeals to the senses, we really want to sometimes think, how can I get there? And that's a great danger, men and women. People losing out with the Lord. And no wonder Paul had so much to say to Timothy in the importance of sticking by that which was good. And if you're in the right field, that is the place to be. But if you're in the wrong field, ask the Lord to show it to you. You remember just after I was saved, it was maybe, I don't know, a month or a wee bit more than that, the girl that I had been going out with was a Christian. And I got saved and I went to a youth night in what are known as assembly buildings in Belfast. I didn't know very much, but I knew this, that whenever the meeting was about 15 minutes into its going, this was not the place for me. I said, right, is this thing going now? She says, where are you going? She says, I'm leaving. Why? I says, it's not for me. She can't walk right in front of all my friends. I said, well, I'm going. And I got walked out. She's all embarrassed. Not my wife, by the way, so it doesn't matter. But she's all embarrassed, but I went out anyway. Brothers and sisters, nothing to be gained by staying in the wrong field, but everything to be gained by being the right person in the right place. I trust the Lord will help us in 2013 to be the right men and women in the right place for the Lord. Because it is there that we will have joy. It is there that the Lord will supply our need. It is there that the Lord will lead us and guide us. And sometimes, and this is a fact, sometimes we can miss out on the Lord's leading because we don't simply do what we know is the Lord's will for us now. It's God's will that you pray. God's will that you read His word and listen to it. And I believe it's God's will that you come to meetings as well. You be with God's people. And God's will that you do what, if the door opens up for you, whatever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I trust the Lord will help us. And what about you this morning, you that are not saved yet? You that are still out of Christ without a Saviour. Well, I read a lovely story one day, and not too long ago, and I'm going to read it to you, unsaved person. Over there in Ephesians 1, we're told there, and you've heard me quoting the words before, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's where every Christian is. Accepted in Jesus Christ. It's where you can be, unsaved person. And I want you to remember that as I tell you this story. This man, many years ago, when he was on a preaching tour away over in America, and when he was at the meetings there, he was a guest of some people who were sheep farmers. And as he was out there for meals and so on, they brought him out onto the farm, and it was lambing time. And every morning they'd go out, and there were lots of little lambs, and they're all playing around. And one morning as he went out, he seen this ewe, or depending what part of the country you come from, sheep. It was there, and it was walking across the road, but it was followed by a very strange looking little lamb, because the little lamb looked as though it had six legs. He was convinced of that. And he said to the farmer, he says, "What's that over there? That wee lamb seems to have six legs." And the farmer came to him and he went on to tell the story. He said that the little lamb that sheep actually had, it died. And he said, there was a little lamb, the one that you're looking at, and its mother died. And he said, we tried to give the lamb to the sheep that had lost the lamb, but when she smelled it, she knew it wasn't hers, she wouldn't have it. He said, so we went then to the little lamb that had died, we skinned it, and we put the skin and the legs, obviously were still there, we put it all onto the back of that little lamb. And then we brought it to her again, and she smelt the skin of the lamb which had been hers. And in a sense, she adopted that little lamb. You see, of itself, she wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. But when she saw it, robed, if you like, in the skin of the other lamb, she took it. It became hers. And the preacher in the campaign that he was involved in, he went on to use the illustration when speaking to the unsaved. An unsaved person, here it is. There's a picture of you and me. Of ourselves, the Lord won't have us because we're sinners. And there's absolutely nothing we can achieve in life or do with ourselves to change that situation. But Jesus makes all of the difference. And when we come to Him and receive Him as our own and personal Saviour, we are robed in His righteousness, and hence the truth of the words in Ephesians 1. He, because He hath robed us with His righteousness, hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He can do it for you today. I trust that you will turn to Him and embrace Him as Saviour and Lord, and know what it is today to be born of the Spirit and to be brought into the family and fold of God. Then you will be like the believers that we've addressed for a large part of the meeting this morning. You will be able to follow after the Lord and seek the Lord's will for you.